We're doubling the praise on 100.9 and 92.7. And this is Community Voices with Ron Holland, giving you an opportunity to share your thoughts, your perspective, and your views on a broad range of issues impacting your neighborhood, community, your city, our nation, and indeed our world. We have another great show for you this morning. Vocalist, gospel artist, and pastor, Mr. Be Encouraged. William Becton is here in the studio with me this morning to talk about his new single, Thank You, Stand on Your Feet. Of course, William Becton and Friends smash hit Be Encouraged, along with several albums, including Heart of a Love Song and Broken, topped the gospel charts years ago. Now, Mr. Becton is reemerging to climb the charts again. He's here to talk about his reemergence, the gospel industry, church, and my favorite subject, politics. That's right, William Becton will talk politics with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. Community Voices with Ron Holland. In-depth analysis, thought-provoking, and hard-hitting. Community Voices with Ron Holland, giving you an opportunity to share what's on your mind and in your heart. Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. Mr. Becton, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Ron, it's good to be here, man. It's good to be here.
Absolutely. I am excited to have you here in the studio. I always see you on the weekend.
Yeah.
But I'm excited about the interview, primarily because you have a new single that is absolutely wonderful. You have a lot of things that are happening, and we get an opportunity today to talk about some of the things that we talk about on the weekends. So I'm excited. You are mounting a significant comeback in the gospel music industry with the release of your new single.
Yes.
Thank you. Talk about your efforts to break through all the competition that appears to have been holding down the charts.
Thank You is a combination of experiences. It's a cumulative effort that has come forth from every experience that I've had over the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at what's going on in gospel music, I don't like to associate myself with a competitive edge when you talk about promoting the gospel at all.
Yeah,
even though when we talk about record sales, I mean, we are competing for airspace and on the radio. Of course, we know how that is working at the radio station.
Absolutely.
But when you really have a kingdom mindset, I forced myself over the years to compete with myself.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is to not another artist, to compete with myself to bring forth the very best effort that I can bring forth.
Mm-hmm.
Compete with myself to hear as accurately as I can hear from God. Because if I bring forth the best effort and I hear accurately from God, the marketplace will take care of itself.
Absolutely.
I don't have to compete with the other artists. I can then, I say it all the time, the Spirit of the Lord ministered something to me on my second record, third record. I was preparing to mix it, and I turned on the radio on my way to church one morning, and I heard a new Fred Hammond song at the time. I believe it was Ordered, Steps Are Ordered. And I listened to it, and I was in the car. I said, man, he took it here. I got to take it there. and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. See, that's your problem.
Yeah.
He says, what he has is for you, and what you have is for him.
Amen.
And I got it right then. and that means that if I perfect what I have, he's going to benefit from me.
Yeah.
And if he perfects what he has, I'm going to benefit from him.
Absolutely. Now, your hit song, Be Encouraged, still has a presence on the airwaves. And in some ways, it prevented you from going into obscurity. Talk a little bit about what occurred, because you had some interesting things coming out.
Sure. The same thing, ironically, Ron, that was going on in my life at the time that I did that record, almost is the same thing that's gone on in my life over the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I am known for ministering to broken people.
Yes.
As my mission statement is making disciples of the broken.
Mm-hmm.
And broken does not necessarily mean down and out.
Right.
There are some up and in people that are broken too. Broken means forcibly fractured, shattered, not functioning properly.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we tend to look at the person on the corner who's begging for money, or the person who's evicted from their home. Oh, they're really broken. broken. Yeah, but there's some folks who make six-figure incomes who are broken as well.
Yeah.
So I minister to people who are not functioning properly. So at that time in my life, I was called to do great things and called to do some extraordinary things, but I was in a broken state. And so I wrote around every aspect of brokenness that I was seeing occur. Oklahoma bombing was going on. The state of the world needed, and my environment needed encouragement.
Right.
So I wrote this song about that. Well, some, 16 years, 17 years later, I found myself in another season of my life at another level of brokenness.
Mm-hmm.
So what I wrote about now is more intense because I actually physically went through some things that caused the God in me to rise to the surface and the me in me to decrease.
Now, in terms of confronting the challenges of life, how do you bounce back? I mean, reading your story and hearing, and I want to be forthright with the audience because you are here, you work here at the station, and you and I have some really good conversations.
Absolutely, yes.
And I was always interested in how you bounce back from life's trials.
I cannot tell you that. I would like to say the macho part of me and the competitive, William Becker would say, yeah, I did it by myself. Yeah, it was all me. No, if it were not for the favor of God and God showing me who he was, that he was a keeper. When people walk away from you and when you go through experiences and it seems like you're stripped from every possible success, every possible stream of sustenance, and you're forced to really live what you preached and what you sung about. It takes God to even allow. It takes God to even achieve that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we preach it, we know it, we quote it, but it takes God when you awaken in 3-4 o'clock hours of the night and you're looking at sustenance. You're looking at life through. You're looking at it up. But God is able to love you. He is able to redeem the time. He is able to remind you who you are when you forget and others forget.
And that the scripture that talks about weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning.
Yes.
It's always the 2 o'clock in the morning that's the issue for me.
Absolutely. It's absolutely. And I love that scripture. And I've learned to live that, too, because I've learned to see that even through different shades. I teach our people all the time. Revelations and scripture are like putting on different lenses. And so we've quoted scripture and we know scripture and have quoted scripture so many times in our lives, but when you're in the Holy Ghost, he puts new lenses over your eyes and you see the same scripture through a different perspective. Weeping may endure for a night. It doesn't have to.
Amen.
In other words, if you really believe God's going to bring you through, go to sleep. You don't have to cry on that. Just go ahead and go to bed, because he's going to take care of
you. Now, your new project. And I had an opportunity to listen to Thank You and the upbeat tempo. It's something exciting about that. Talk about the new project.
I'm functioning apostolically in my life, ministerially, and also musically. And when I say apostolically, that kind of causes my conservative constituents to cringe, But what I mean by that is apostles charted uncharted territory. When you go along, and a lot of what we do in radio is, of course, is we follow a common trend. If this is successful, then we all must go this route because this is what's successful now. I was looking at NFL Network because I'm a really big sports fan, football fan. And one of the commentators said the NFL is a copycat league. In other words, if one team has success with something, then all the rest of the teams are going to follow that blueprint.
Right.
Well, I've never been that type of individual. I've always been the type of individual to hear what God is saying and allow God to manifest himself through me creatively. I try to follow that blueprint in radio as being a jock. I try to follow that blueprint with my music.
Right.
And with that being said, charisma, and I teach our people charisma, the Greek word charisma, is allowing the Holy Spirit to work through your gifts.
Amen.
And your personality.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when you do that, that's your charisma. So Thank You is a song that that is unique in and of itself. It compiles many different elements. You know, it's urban in nature. I'm singing on it a little more. It's a song that has actually three leads on it, you know, and that's pretty much the William Becton style, being able to, you know, my background is music education, voice. I was a vocal major. So, and I teach singers. That's pretty much what I do. Develop singers into my vision, train singers in my vision. So you have three distinctly different voices that have a space in the song. And the message of the song is simply thanking God from the experiences of devastation where we could have been dead and gone. I think right. That's one of the lines, could have been dead and gone, pushing up daisies.
Right.
But nevertheless, God allowed us to go through that. Mm-hmm. And since I know I could have been dead and gone, I have no choice but to thank you. That's all I can say is thank you.
Yeah. Well, let's take a listen to a little bit of what you have here. Because, again, for me, it's awesome. And I'm just excited to see what's going to take place when everybody gets to hear
it. It's wicked hard to see the light. Life will make the righteous cry. Wake up every day, believe in God, we'll make the change.
Been hurting
and there's pain, but still you got to praise.
So you've been rejected, pushed aside. This is what you ought to do.
Tell the Lord. Get a witness tonight.
Now, I'm excited. Give me your thoughts about it. What message are you conveying here?
You know, it's simply put, ironically, that song was, I wrote that song in 1997. And it's a funny testimony. In the height of being courage, I was in a lot of heat in the environment that I was in. And so I was having this great success and on the road. And I believe very much in being covered and being a part of the local fellowship. But a lot of times when you have success and it hits you so fast, some of the people that you're connected to in your immediate environments might not understand your success. And so when I would come home off the road, you know, I would come back to my local fellowship and, you know, I wanted to share, be a part of the music ministry. Well, those that were there, you know, they didn't want me to share. They were, hey, you out the road, you do what you do out there, we do what we do in here, you know. So you just have a seat, since you missed the big being encouraged, you just have a seat in the front row. So they alienated me and I felt bad. I mean, come on, y'all my family, you supposed to be a part of this. And so they had me, I sat, you know, so I just came back, paid my tithe, and just sat on the front row. So I remember saying, listen, can I be a part of the service 3 weeks from now? I want to sing a song. Is that all right? And I wrote this song, you know, and because I felt that I was rejected by my family right there. So I said, you know, I'm going to write a song about how I feel about being rejected. And so we wrote this song. And is there anyone that has ever been rejected, pushed aside? And so I said that. I said, stand on your feet, lift your hands. And the whole church stood on their feet and lifted their hands. And that was 1997.
Right.
We didn't record this song until recently.
Right.
And the events that took place in my life over the last 4 years, I had to go back and add a verse to it. And so that so when I say stand to your feet, I think I pretty much got every angle of what anyone could be going through negative in their life, to let them know it doesn't matter how bad things are. Listen, it doesn't matter how bad life has hit you. Get up off your feet. Stand up, lift your hands, and tell God thank you, because it really could have been the other way.
Now, you have a new documentary coming out soon. Talk about the progress of the project, and what can we expect to see in the documentary?
The documentary is going to be real. You know, my vision statement is being real, being righteous, and being relevant. We're going to be real, we're going to be righteous, and we're going to be relevant. So there's, I'm uncovering some elements of my life that are not very comfortable to talk about, but they are part of the story that encompasses the success of William Becton and also a Job-like experience. Now, for those that listen, I'm not comparing myself to Job. I believe the book of Job is the one of the oldest books in Scripture, as we as theologians teach, and that it's one of the oldest book in Scripture. But it is there because every believer who's actually walking with God, especially every leader, has had a Job-like experience will have a Job-like experience. And so the documentary is really my Job-like experience, because many folks wonder, where have you been? What's going on? What happened, you know, after being encouraged? You know, why didn't you do any more CDs? I did four. Mm-hmm. You did four? We didn't know. Yeah, well, three of them into, you know, the charts of the top 10. Well, we didn't know. We didn't hear about that. What have you been over the last 10 years? Well, life. Well, we heard you. Are you passing? Yes, I am. So I decided to tell the story. And much to my surprise, I realized that if you're going to do anything in the kingdom from a leadership perspective, transparency is a requirement.
Absolutely.
And so they're very transparent with a lot of things that have occurred over my life.
You talk about the end of your marriage.
The divorce.
You talk about the losing your dad.
Mm-hmm, losing my both parents.
Foreclosure, bankruptcy, all of those things.
The whole nine. And
how do you expose yourself like that publicly?
I do, because it's not over until I win.
Right.
You know, life is for the believer, and life is not over. The reason why we're not dead and gone is because we are fulfilling the purposes of God. We only have time. Time is only existent to the believer to fulfill the purposes of God. Mm-hmm. And so that's encouraging somebody who's listening now. So if you're going through a midnight situation right now, things are rough right now, don't give up, because watch this. The only reason why you're not dead is because there is still more for you to do.
Amen. Amen.
And now, that's easy to say, but it, like I said before in the beginning of this interview, if it were not for the Lord whispering in my ear, if it were not for the prophetic utterances that came over my life, I would have given up. But in the apex of the intense fiery darts that were coming my way, mm-hmm. God kept reminding me that this I'm doing.
Right.
See, if you can go through a Job situation, if you know that God is allowing it for something greater. See, a lot of times we go through those experiences and we start blaming God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And even Job, you know, had that, you know, okay, God, why? I didn't understand. Even Job's friends couldn't give him an explanation as to what's going on. But at the end of the trial, Ron, Job had more on the end than he did in the beginning.
And you know, and I embrace that, but I get caught up in that moment where I'm saying, okay, God, what's going on in my own life? And what is this bet between you and Satan that I got to go through all of this?
Yeah, yeah. And that's the interesting aspect of that. But, you know, and what balances that, you know, because I'm a Word of Faith teacher, what balances that, anyone who understands and knows the Word and knows the story of Job has taken that perspective.
Yeah.
This is when I realized that he's God and I'm not.
Right, right.
Because I am made for his glory. In other words, we are here to make him look good.
Amen.
We're here to make God look good. So if we can't make God, how do we make him look good? It's like the Timex watch. You remember the commercial back in the day? What made the Timex watch? The Timex watch? Because it could take a licking and keep on ticking. Come on here, somebody. Somebody going to preach that tomorrow. They're going to hear that on your show. They're going to preach that tomorrow. So it makes God look good. Yeah. You know, when, you know, look, you tried to break him. Look, you took his family. I allowed you to take his sustenance. I allowed you to take his possessions and his money. But he still preached every week. He still didn't curse me.
Yeah. Yeah.
He made some mistakes, a lot of them, but he kept getting up. And I think that makes God look good.
Amen. Well, we only have a few minutes. Give me your thoughts about the industry. What is going on in the gospel industry at this point?
Wow, I should have known, being the intellectual you are and quite the provoker, too, that you were going to get me in a position to say. Well, I'm going to tell you honestly. Uh-huh. I am not the norm, the normal kind of artist. Mm-hmm. So I push the envelope. You know, I'm going to push the envelope. I want to win, and I want to push the envelope, and I want to win for the kingdom. So I approach the industry from a ministry perspective. Mm-hmm. I know what it is God has called me to do. I know who it is, and I'm called to reach. And sometimes, because I'm definitive in that approach, that offends a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, because a lot of the criticism is that the industry has become too commercialized, and that even God and Jesus is absent from the lyrics.
Yeah, and that's one criticism. The other criticism are those that us who are of the cloth or fivefold ministry. So when I did this video, one of the first things and took pictures, one of the first things that my constituents would say about me, oh, you got your arms out in the video? Are you wearing a chain in the video? Yeah. And so what's that? Is that your bicep or your tricep? Yes.
No, those are guns, bro. Yeah.
He says, well, I don't get that. You're a pastor. Yeah, I was a pastor. Let me share with you the reason why I chose to do that, why I was led to do that. Because if you know my history, I don't believe there was a picture circulating on the internet that didn't show me 355 or 60 pounds popping pills for blood sugar and blood pressure. And so when the Lord moved upon me to get my temple right, to get my body right, you're ministering the word, but watch this. The word has to be resident in a body that has to be able to contain the anointing. Who better to say, this is how you see where I was, you see where I am, but it ain't over, because we're going to get all the way over there for the kingdom.
Amen. Now, you and I, we've talked about dual citizenship.
Yes, sir.
You know where I'm going. Yeah. I'm about to talk about politics.
Sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And you are the pastor of Kingdom Purpose Worship Center, and we are fast approaching the November presidential election. Yes. Talk a little bit about where you are in terms of politics, and what is the responsibility of pastors and the church with regard to this upcoming election?
I believe that we have dual citizenship because we are citizens of the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And we are citizens of the United States of America.
Yeah,
we are also citizens of the state of North Carolina.
Right.
So we have multiple citizenships. I believe that one takes priority over all three, because one is eternal. And the other will only last if maybe 75 years if you're lucky.
Yeah.
If you're over 75 years, you're having a good time. So I have affinity toward the one that is eternal. In saying that, I believe it is the responsibility of every kingdom citizen to affect where he is for the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And so while I do not believe, and we know this is a common fact, that it is the church's responsibility as a unit to select a candidate, we have to be kingdom minded as it relates to the things that affect us, our regions, individually. Because when you say the kingdom of God is a broad statement. Mm-hmm. You have kingdom citizens that are Republican and kingdom citizens.
That's almost a contradiction to me. I'm sorry.
I remember a pastor saying to me, Pastor Beckton, I was at his multicultural church years ago. He says, we have to vote righteous. And I'm saying to myself, yeah, we do. Which one of them is righteous? We have to vote for what is going to put us in the church, what is going to put us in the position to do kingdom work.
So
we have to look from that perspective. We have to vote on the issues that are going to put us in the position to do kingdom business.
Now, as you know, there are a number of black pastors who are encouraging their congregation to stay home from the polls because of President Obama's support of same-sex marriage. Mm-hmm. Where do you fall down on that in context to what our social responsibilities are as a body?
Same-sex marriage and the whole hate crime movement is a very serious movement, and it's one that's going to be around for a while. The Bible addresses it. In the Old Testament is addressed in the New Testament. And while I do not preach the hate of any issue, because God gives us the right to choose, he deals with our decisions.
Right.
But he does not restrict us from choosing. In other words, you can choose. He says, "Before I place before you life and death." In other words, I'm giving you the free will to choose life or death. Choose life. I'm telling you to choose life.
Right, right.
You know, now you can choose death. So I believe it is our responsibility, as it relates to the church, to preach the scripture, to preach the Bible, to preach what the Bible says, not try to change it, not manipulate it, to preach the scripture, but not hate people when they don't ascribe to your beliefs.
Yeah, yeah.
What happens to the parent who is a believer whose child chooses not to accept the pinnacles of the faith? No. Do you throw that child out? Do you not love that child? No, you love that child even though that child's decision is different than yours. You love them because through love and through through information, correct information and love, you may be able to persuade that child and draw that child into the kingdom of God.
Well, there seems to be a seething hatred that comes from a particular part when addressing this issue of gay marriage and even some social issues. So right. How do you reconcile that seething hatred with someone's particular religious tradition?
I believe that that's the job of the church. The job of the church is to educate people through the laws of the kingdom of God, through the word of God, to preach the word of God, to preach righteousness uncompromised, the righteousness uncompromised with the spirit of love. See, it's possible to teach the word of God with a spirit that is not love.
Yeah, yeah.
And what happens then is offense. You offend people and you provoke people. But when you preach the God, I mean, if you came in today and you said, you know, I stayed up all night in a pastor back then and I made you chicken livers and I wanted to give this to you just for being on my show. I don't like chicken livers. Huh? I'm not going to eat them. If you barbecue them, if you put hot sauce on them, if you put... My point being, there are some people who are not going to ascribe to you. But in saying that, our obligation is to love them even beyond that. We have a doctrinal stance that we have to take as a pastor, mm-hmm. But then we have to love with that. Causes change.
Absolutely. And given that President Obama is the president of the United States and not the pastor,
yes.
He has an obligation, in my judgment, to oversee the country,
yes.
Not particular religious
church.
Traditions.
Yeah, he's the president.
Amen.
President, not pastor.
Now, the William Becton Show has taken off here on Praise 100.9 and 92.7. Talk a little bit about when the single is coming out and when the album is coming.
Yes, the single is out now on www.williambecton.org. Mm-hmm. You can go to my website and I wanted to make the single free to anyone who wanted it because the message in my 10-year absence promoting the documentary and the video, the message of thank you is really what I'm hearing the Holy Ghost say to make available to the masses. And so you can go to williambecton.org and you can get to download the single thank you. The documentary, it's a 30-minute documentary and it is uncovered, you know, uncut, you know, it is straight. I mean, kind of emotional sometimes as
now,
well.
Now, in the interest of full disclosure, I am the voiceover.
You did an outstanding job.
Well, thank you, sir.
And I wanted your listeners to know, VH1, MTV, they don't have nothing on unbelievable. But we want you to go there now, www.williambecton.org. The documentary is coming. There will be advertisements there. It's going to air on DoorsTV.com. Will be the first world premiere of the documentary. The video is online as well, and we're looking forward to being able to bless the people of God, and we thank you for just, Ron, just helping to take us to the next level, sir.
Well, is William Becton back?
All the way.
Amen.
All the way.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll wrap up the show. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7. We'll be back in a moment. Praise 100.9 and 92.7. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland. I want to again thank pastor, gospel artist, and vocalist William Becton for sharing his life's journey, the hard times, the uncertainty, the loss, but most importantly, his reemergence. I'm certainly excited, as I know you are, to hear that his presence will be felt in a significant way in the gospel music industry. I wish him well and am confident God has some great things in store
store for him. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland. If you have any comments on today's show, please send me an email, ronholland@radio-1.com or ronholland25@yahoo.com. I also invite you to visit my blog for some very insightful and provocative commentary, www.ronhollands.blogspot.com. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Community Voices. I'm Ron Holland. We'll talk with you next week.